He is in a, you know, 20-foot hole with a 10-foot rope, and he's just not going to be able to get out of it. You can't call somebody ugly and expect that they'll go to the prom with you.
Welcome to In the Thick. This is a podcast about politics and the race to the White House in 2016. We are the show that examines this week's political coverage through a diverse lens with different perspectives that we own. I am your host, Maria Hinojosa. It's great to be here with you. So on our last episode, we decided to focus on Asian Americans as a voting bloc because, you know, it doesn't get a whole lot of attention, and that's what we like to talk about. So this week, we turn our attention to another voting bloc that you don't hear a whole lot about. Conservative, Latino, and Latina voters. And we're excited to welcome two leaders of national political organizations to join our conversation. From Washington, D.C., Daniel Garza, who is the executive director of the Libre Initiative. That's a politically conservative Latino outreach organization. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Maria, always a pleasure. Thank you.
And also in D.C. is Angela Maria Kelly. She's the executive director of the Center for American Progress Action Fund, part of the progressive think tank of the Center for American Progress. Hey, Angie.
Hey, Maria.
And joining us from Boston, from his studio, in his car, in his garage, our very own political editor for the Futuro Media Group, Julio Ricardo Varela. Hey, Julio.
How are you, Maria? Welcome back.
I'm great. Okay, on the front page of the Boston Globe this week, a story with the headline that reads, Latino Republicans Spurn Donald Trump. And it goes into detail about how many prominent Latino Republicans are refusing to support Trump. So, Daniel, I don't know, does this sound familiar? Because this is what you wrote about Trump. You said, quote, when you're proposing policy that divides, as eliminating birthright citizenship would do, that's not good for America. That's not good for society. So, Daniel, will you, as a Latino conservative, vote for Donald Trump?
Oh, I'm not. I obviously, because I represent the Libre Initiative, which is a nonprofit and nonpartisan, I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for. But I can tell you that I'm not going to be supporting Hillary Clinton.
Before you say that you're not going to support Donald Trump, you say that you're not going to support Hillary Clinton. Wow.
It's really hard for someone who is driving or championing free market policies, trying to lessen government, to get behind a person who is actually going to increase government, increase taxes, increase regulations, distort, you know, the role of government, basically shred the Constitution by expanding what Barack Obama has done in going beyond their constitutional authority.
Okay, so Daniel, I'm sorry, because you just said that because you run a nonprofit political organization, you can't take a political stance, but you just said you will not vote for Hillary Clinton. So that's taking a political stance. So are you going to vote for Donald Trump? I mean, will you get behind the Republican Party and say he is the nominee and I, as a Latino conservative, will support Donald Trump?
No, look, I mean, what I can tell you is that it's going to be up to Donald Trump, basically. The burden's on him to persuade Latinos.
Angie, what is going on for you? You are watching Daniel as he is sitting here struggling to not directly, specifically criticize Donald Trump.
Look, I have a lot of respect for you, Daniel. And I think
that
you want to have a real conversation about what policies would benefit the Latino community. I think that there is a big opportunity here for Hillary Clinton. You know, I'm very much reminded of the way California back in the 1990s turned from a red state to a blue state because you had that kind of vitriol coming from the then governor of California who supported something called Prop 187 that was an anti-immigrant measure. And then Latinos responded.
Julio, you're listening to this conversation between Daniel and Angie. So what's going on?
I actually think this is the type of conversation that Latinos should be having. The two leading candidates, they're not the official nominees yet until we get to the convention, have issues with Latinos. That's why I find Latino conservatives to be such an interesting sector right now of the voting public. My question is, if not Trump, where are they going to go?
Talk about this recent Fox News Latino poll with libertarian Gary Johnson.
I believe about 1,200, 1,300 registered voters, Latinos. Trump got about 23%. But Gary Johnson, libertarian, former governor of New Mexico, a border state got 9% of the support from Latinos.
Daniel, you do call yourself a libertarian. So were you like, yay, Gary Johnson?
We're suffering from the lowest labor participation rate since the 1970s. So I'm glad to see, yeah, that Latino libertarians are being heard. I look, they're a big piece of the voting bloc. But at the same time, look, you know, Donald Trump on an NBC poll shows that he's got 32% of the Latino vote. So obviously, I mean, I think the biggest...
I don't know if we should believe that.
So what do you think about this poll saying that Trump could win, you know, upwards of 30% of the Latino vote, more than Romney did? I mean, does this seem real to you?
No. Come on. They're smoking something.
No, you didn't. Oh, my God.
At most...
She just went there.
Or I want to be smoking something.
They are in Colorado.
Exactly. See? It's a different world there.
You just don't buy it. You don't buy it.
Come on. Look, Romney... Let's just look at historically what we've seen with a presidential candidate that takes a position that is, I would not have voted for the DREAM Act. I would repeal or pull back on the executive orders for DACA. I would not have supported Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor. Position after position, self-deportation that Romney said. And, you know, he got at best 27%. Trump is all that on steroids. Right? Because he is about having deportation forces that will ferret out the 11 million and get rid of them. He is about stopping remittances from the United States to Mexico. He is about putting a wall up that symbolically couldn't be more offensive.
But on the flip side, I've talked to plenty, and I'm not talking about a handful of Trump supporters who are Latino. They give me reasons as to why they support him. They think he speaks the truth. There's almost like this, like, I am authoritative and I'm a leader and I'm macho. So there is an appeal, and it's still NBC News we're talking about here. It's not, you know, it's not a Facebook poll.
Well, if I could make the case, Mary, really quick, as to why there may be some validity to these polls. 40% of Latinos who made over $50,000 a year voted for Mitt Romney. There are now 15 million Latinos who make over $50,000 a year. That's a huge block for Donald Trump to go after. Plus the rise of the Latino evangelicals who voted 40% for Mitt Romney in 2012.
Daniel, you are a Latino evangelical. You know, the word is that if Trump basically wants to win with Latinos, he's got to convince the Latino evangelicals. If Trump does this, I'm so sorry, you know, is that going to clinch it for Latino evangelicals who are like, you know what, we believe in forgiveness?
Look, I don't know. That's up to the individual. But, you know, Trump has shown himself to be very adept at handling media, at handling messaging. In fact, there's nothing like him. He needs to communicate his ideas and who he is as a person and really, I think, reveal his heart, if he has one. Yeah. To the Latino community through Spanish language mediums and platforms. And he has not. It's a big failure of his.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just think that's a bridge too far. He is in a, you know, 20-foot hole with a 10-foot rope, and he's just not going to be able to get out of it. You know, I'm quoting Dick Armey here. You can't call somebody ugly and expect that they'll go to the prom with you. I mean, what he has said to the community over and over is, you are ugly as hell, and I don't like you. And just imagine the 30-second ads that he has already, you know, made very easy for the Clinton campaign. And where this is going to matter is, you know, a handful of states. There's going to be an intense amount of effort. There already has been by the Democratic Party in those states, and by a number of progressive organizations to get people to naturalize, to register to vote, and to turn out to vote. And they're going to remain focused like a laser beam on those states. What's Trump's operation in those states towards the Latino community? Zero. Zero. The Republican autopsy report from 2012 said, you have got to embrace and champion comprehensive immigration reform. You have got to reach out to the community with a hug, not with a stick. And they have just been beating the community with a stick. They're just drinking a hemlock that's going to put them under.
Did you know that In the Thick is a listener-supported podcast? And like any new program, your contributions are key to our success. You allow us to continue providing you a diverse and authentic voice that's not heard anywhere else. Your gifts at any level truly do make a difference. I hope you'll go to inthethick.org and click on the donate button. Every single contribution helps our independent media. And one more thing. If you can, go to iTunes and rate and review In the Thick, because that helps us to get new listeners. Thanks so much. So we've been talking in particular about Trump and the 2016 election, but I want to zoom out for a bit. There's essentially this common belief that most Latinos today, especially younger Latinos, are pretty much left-leaning. But Daniel, your organization, Libre, actually wants to reach out to Latinos with a conservative message. So are you getting a lot of traction with young Latinos?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we have over 20,000 enlisted volunteers across the country, and the vast, vast majority of them are young kids. 44% of all the voters are going to be millennials. And, you know, there was an interesting poll that was put out. 40% of millennials, Latinos, said that they would consider leaving the country if Donald Trump was elected president. 40% also said they would consider leaving the country if Hillary was elected president. So you have just as much dislike on one as you do on the other, which is what I'm saying. For the big hole that Donald Trump finds himself in, Hillary is in the same hole.
You know, I'm smiling because I'm the mother of a 19-year-old who, you know, says things like this all the time. You know, I'm just going to move out. I'm going to, you know, and it's like, yeah, you pay for those bills, honey. You do that. Exactly.
So start walking.
Exactly. So I think that's a little bit of just, you know, I want this problem to go away in frustration. Exactly. Look, I don't disagree with Daniel in the sense that I do think that as the vitriol that Trump, the anger, the meanness towards the Latino community goes up, it is not the case that commensurate with that goes up support for Hillary. It is not a one-to-one, right? Yeah. But it just creates a space. It creates a space for her to walk into and say, I respect your community. Your community is my community, right? Her positions on issues related to LGBT will be appealing to Latino millennials. I think her positions related to student debt will be appealing to Latino millennials.
But I think we're forgetting something about this Democratic race. There's this senator from Vermont who has been getting more of the younger support from millennials of color. You know, Hillary Clinton has admitted to that. I look at experiences where you see these young Latinos who are not really in the Clinton camp yet. There isn't this enthusiasm. We have to admit that the enthusiasm on the Democratic side from young Latinos is coming from Bernie Sanders. Yeah, it's not coming from Hillary Clinton.
It's crazy. It's this old guy, right, with who doesn't comb his hair.
I can promise you one thing about Bernie Sanders. If he were the nominee, I detest Bernie's agenda. It, with every bean in my body.
Wow.
How do you really feel about that, Daniel?
No, look.
Wow. But look at that. But you were so quick to say that about Bernie Sanders, but not as quick to say that about Donald Trump. Interesting.
The cronyism that he's talking about, that he would actually expand government, that he would expand taxes and regulations, that he would expand the power and the coercive nature of government to impose his agenda, his will on the individual. I'm telling you, we would marshal every force and every resource we have against that agenda.
Wow.
So it's not just easy to say, well, Bernie would be the you know, would motivate the young Latinos. We would do everything.
I just want to make it really clear that Daniel Garza from the Libre Initiative has taken on Hillary Clinton in a very big way, has said that you hate the entire platform of Bernie Sanders with every bone of your body. Óyeme, qué dramático. You know,
not
so Mexican.
I don't question his motives, but I do, his ideas are bad.
I just want to see Daniel's bones just being moving.
But you have opened the door widely to say Donald Trump, it's in your court.
We're going to mobilize the Latino community around ideas, not personalities, but around an agenda, ideas that are going to make the individual free to prosper, free to innovate, to be an emprendedor, and to create material wealth.
Angie, I'm sorry. Do you believe that Donald Trump will do that for the Latino population, that he will open the doors to be better business people? It's all of the list of things that Daniel just said. Do you believe that Donald Trump will deliver?
I don't, and I don't think that the community believes that either. He's shown his true colors about what he believes about the community, that's just a tattoo that he's not going to be able to put makeup on.
do conservative Latinos and Latinas have to deal with a certain amount of, you know, cognitive dissonance in the sense that they have this internal disconnect between the values that they really applaud in the Republican Party?
Big time.
You know, but then they hear things coming out of the mouths of Republicans like Donald Trump, who you have failed to highly criticize today, just reminding you. But is there that, like, what do you do with that?
The fundamental question that I believe every Latino has to ask themselves, especially the conservatives, like you say, is, am I willing to forsake 95, 90, 80, 70% of issue alignment because of one issue, you know, which is immigration? And that's a legitimate question that you have to ask yourself. Look, you know, am I more effective by trying to persuade the conservative side on immigration and staying here because I align with them on just about everything else? Or should I, because of one issue, you know, break ranks and go to the other side where I disagree with the other party on 90% of the issues? That's a tough position to be in.
I'm not sure that there's 90% disagreement.
Well, 70, 80, whatever.
No, not even. But let's get back to the core question.
I think you're wrong.
4 out of 10 Latino voters know someone who's been deported or who's been detained or who's in deportation proceedings. This is not like about the polar bears and the ice caps, you know, in the North Pole shrinking. I mean, like, we're feeling this issue. Believe me, I'm very worried about the polar bears. But I'm much more worried about my husband, who teaches ESL, about his students and their families. I am much more worried about that.
Yeah.
When it comes to polling the Latino communities about should the government do more or is less government better, Latinos, 82% say the government should do more. And that's compared to whites that are at 52%. So you've got a 30-point difference of Latinos saying, no, the government should do more. Can the free market handle problems?
Daniel's bones are moving right now.
We're going to move on to our final segment, which is called Noam's Family List. If you're listening for the first time, our producer Noam sat around with his family and they brainstormed a list of segments that they would like to hear people talk about. And so we basically let our guests choose what is their final comment. And the list goes like this. It's Fantasy CNN, What's Missing, Tough Questions, and What We've Got Wrong. Angie, you want to start? Which one do you want?
Yeah, I think the story that's missing, it's the fact that we do integrate, that we assimilate. And I know that that word falls badly on some people's ears. But I actually think it's a pretty fascinating thing to be proud of. You see intermarriage rates, English proficiency, naturalization rates, home ownership rates, they get higher and higher with each generation. So like just something like marrying non-Latinos, right? Which my mom got over because at least the guy I married speaks fluent Spanish. The first generation, 13% marry non-Latinos. But the second generation, 32%, you know, like more than double. And so it's not to say that we dilute our culture and our heritage. It's that I think that we make the country stronger. The country views Mexico so differently than it views Canada. And that's just, I think, so short-sighted, given the economic trade and just the importance from a societal perspective of our neighbors to the south.
Daniel, what's your choice?
For me, the story has been Obama's massive failure on immigration that has been decepcionante. You know, instead of having focused on real reform, you know, he got distracted and went, you know, towards executive actions, one of which, DAPA, we feel exceeded his authority. DACA, I'm scared for the kids because if Donald Trump becomes president, he's going to rescind it. And I don't know what's going to happen to them. He's exposed these children.
He's going to deport them, I think.
He's going to deport them, is what he's saying.
Said.
Yeah, absolutely. But look, when it comes to DAPA, frankly, he exceeded his presidential authority by circumventing Congress, by legislating instead of executing law. His, you know, executive action is about, you know, advancing reform that is in consonance with current law. Here, he's flying in the face of current law because what he's doing is saying that young kids can petition for their parents. That flies in the face of current law. And one who is a constitutionalist, even though there's a direct benefit to our community, we cannot allow a president to shred the Constitution and take that kind of authority. And so, but what he's done is also, again, taken his eye off the ball from real reform that we desperately needed.
Julio, what's your choice?
Mine is what we're getting wrong. Recently, Bernie Sanders, I guess Daniel's favorite candidate.
to his bones.
Yeah, his bones. He was interviewed both by Leon Krauss and Pilar Marrero, who are friends of Maria and myself, our fellow journalists, about Latin America. And one of the things that was really, really interesting was when they were talking about Venezuela and sort of the end of the left in Latin America, like, you know, how Latin America goes from left to right, from one extreme to another. Sanders didn't really answer the question and kind of said, I'm only focused on the United States. And I just think like that was a little like chink in his armor, especially with young Latinos who actually look at issues like Venezuela, Cuba, Mexico, all these other countries, what's going on in their countries of origin as important issues. And to have a Democratic candidate who has a lot of young Latino support saying, you know what, I really am just going to focus on the United States. We're going to focus on Latin America later. I just thought it was a lost opportunity that his campaign had two prominent Latino journalists and he wasn't coached well. And I think that's missing in this conversation.
Okay. And my choice from Noam's family list is Tough Questions. I was out with Latino evangelicals. And when I told them that I was about to leave their megachurch to go meet with a group of Latino Republicans who support Donald Trump, these Latino evangelicals that everybody says is, oh, they're so conservative, so they said to me, well, you need to ask those Latino Trump supporters if they believe in their hearts that Donald Trump is actually a good Christian. Do they believe in their hearts that they can support a candidate who wants to build a wall and deport our family members? And this was a question from Latino evangelicals to Latino Trump supporters. Uno, dos, Daniel Garza is the executive director of the Libre Initiative. Angela Maria Kelly is the executive director of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And Julio Ricardo Varela is the political editor for the Futuro Media Group. And I want to thank all of you for joining us for this week's episode of In the Thick.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you,
Maria. Yes.
I'm your host, Maria Hinojosa. And remember, you guys, it makes a very big difference and it only takes you, tech-savvy people, 2 seconds if you go to iTunes and rate and review us, because that helps us to get more listeners. You can also follow us on Twitter at In the Thick Show. You can like us on Facebook and tell your familia to listen. Our producer is Noam Hassenfeld. Our director of content is Ted Canova. Some of our music is composed by Noam, and some of the other music that you heard is courtesy of Nacional Records. I'll see you around next time, so thanks for listening to this week's In the Thick.